Hello and welcome to the Heavenbound Podcast. My name is Jason Harden. I'm here with Roger Schaus, and we're opening the Bible in search of fuel for your spiritual journey. This is where we talk about life, the way it was meant to be, and what it means to be a disciple of Jesus in the 21st century. Wherever you are, thanks for joining us on the journey today.
We welcome all of our listeners. This month, since it's spring and things are getting warm and we're getting outside more, it's also the beginning season of weddings. And there's always weddings that we know of in the family and among our friends. And so we're just giving tips for weddings as we think about that, tips for marriage. And between the two of us sitting here, we've been married, the two of us combined, about 70 years. And so that's just a long time. The Lord's been good to our wives. I tell you what, to put up with this. But in our first lesson, we talked about the foundation of faith in the Lord. That's first and foremost when you think about trying to build a relationship with someone else, particularly in a marriage, that you need to be on the same page spiritually. A second lesson that we want to address, and we'll talk about this today, is the area of finance. When the Bible talks about two becoming one, it's not just the sexual act, it's really two becoming one in all things, in their thinking, in their planning, and all that. And that means two becoming one even in finances. One of the leading causes, if not the number one cause for divorce today, and especially of stress and strain in the marriage, is finances. It's not uncommon sometimes that within the marriage to have one that's just kind of has this free spirit and they're impulsive and they just get on late at night on their tablet and buying all kinds of stuff off Amazon, and the other's trying to toe the line to the budget and they're not on the same page, and that just causes a lot of friction in marriages. And so as we begin this lesson today, as we talk about tips for marriage, we want to talk about finance. One of the first things I think that we need to address is, why are we talking about this in a religious program, something that's based upon the Bible? There's a lot of people would say this is a good discussion to have on a financial program, not a biblical program. And so, Jason, why are we talking about this?
Well, lots of ways to answer that, but maybe most foundationally, Jesus talked about it. In our daily Bible reading schedule, just very recently, we passed through Luke chapter 16, where, let me just pick out a small section of it. Jesus in verse 10 said, "One who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much, and one who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much." And if you read before it and even the next few verses, it becomes clear he's talking about physical wealth, money. He says in verse 11, "If then you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." Now, there are many things we can learn from that, but first of all, most foundationally, something is going to come first. And Jesus is in no uncertain terms calling us not to be owned, but to own or to use as stewards these fleshly resources. Roger, you had a Jumpstart Rewind here very recently where you highlighted that it's not so much what you have as much as what has you. And I think that's what Jesus is getting at here. But Jesus talked a whole lot about money. I don't know what else comes to your mind, but that's a good introduction.
Let me just walk through some of this. You put us in Luke 16, but let's just go back in Luke.
Okay.
And you'd be amazed at how this comes up. Luke 10, we have the story of the Good Samaritan. And we're going to read part of that in a minute. But what did he do to the hurt man? Well, he took him to the inn, and he left some money for him to be taken care of.
Yeah.
Luke chapter 12, you have someone interrupting Jesus and saying, "Tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." Within Luke 12, we have the story about the man who tore down his barns and built larger barns. We have Luke chapter 15, the prodigal son, give me my inheritance. Luke 16, the rich man and last. So running all through the book of Luke is the idea of wealth and riches. And Jesus understood that's part of our world, that's part of our life, and to ignore this really is something to ignore how important this is. This consumes a lot of thought. It's the basis of a lot of murder, a lot of crime, is that you have something I don't, I'm going to take it. And so the subject of money, wealth, what we do with it, stewardship, contentment, all those principles, they're all wrapped around this idea of what the Bible teaches. For someone to say, well, I don't believe this belongs in a Bible setting, really, you haven't really gone through the Bible very carefully, because you need to see over and over it talks about this. In fact, if we want to get really honest, Jesus said more about money and wealth than he did heaven. Hmm. And that's amazing as we think about that.
Well, and I think, Roger, if I could just interrupt you for a moment, I have a sneaking suspicion that sometimes when someone might say, well, this is not anybody's business other than my own, you know, well, I'll keep the religious stuff over here on one side and I'll worry about the money stuff over on the other side. Perhaps I'm feeling that way because I want to keep Jesus as Lord over only so many aspects of my life. It's okay for him to be Lord on Sunday morning. It's okay for him to be Lord on a Wednesday night. Certainly okay for him to be Lord when I need him or on the other side of death. But here's the bottom line. We'll explore it, I'm sure, in a wide variety of ways. If he is not Lord over my money and my possessions, my priorities, he's not really my Lord.
Absolutely. And, you know, to think what's in my pocket, what's in my wallet, what's in my purse can keep me from heaven, that's because of an attitude I have toward those things. Yeah. If the Lord does not own those, then he really doesn't own me. So let's just throw a couple passages out here, and then we're going to get back and talk about marriage in this regard. But in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 6, the apostle would say, beginning in verse 9, those who want to get rich fall into temptation and the snare and many foolish and harmful desires which plunge men into ruin and destruction. Right there tells us the concern about this. Now, he doesn't say right here men who are rich, but men who want to get rich. Sometimes that desire to get rich will make us cut corners or not ethical or even legal. But that thirst to have, to keep up, to have what I don't have can cause trouble. The very next verse, for the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil, and some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. This is why we need to talk about this, because that thirst for things, that thirst for material, a thirst for money can make some people make the choice, I'll chase that and not my Lord. And as a result of that, they lose their soul. And so this is a huge, huge topic. It's a huge part of our lives. Money is what runs society. Is, you know, we can't go to the store and buy anything unless you have some money to buy it. The house, car, I mean, medical supplies, everything is kind of tied in somewhere with money. But the question is, what is my attitude? What is my spirit about that? And then how does that impact my marriage? And
yeah.
That's some things we're going to look at here.
Yeah, life in the home. And the book of Proverbs in the center of our Bibles, boy, it is just a master class of wisdom. Long before today's financial gurus, the Holy Spirit of God preserved right there in the heart of our Bibles so much perspective on how wisdom is more valuable than physical possessions, righteousness, even a peaceful life. And this maybe is where a lot of this gets injected into perspective for home life. Let me just read you a couple, and then, Roger, I'll ask what stands out to you. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 8, better is a little with righteousness than great revenues with injustice. Or in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 16, better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble with it. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a fattened ox and hatred with it. If we're not careful, even in the closest of human relationships, in our marriages, our priorities can get all out of whack, and this is what we're being warned about. I may not have all that this world has to offer materially, but if I keep my priorities right, there's a reason, Roger, right, that we started with faith before finances, because better is a little bit of money with faith and a whole lot of love than more money than we know what to spend and a miserable marriage.
Absolutely. You know, and later in Proverbs, it talk about the sleep. The one who has so much doesn't sleep well because he's worried about what's going to happen to it. It's going to be safe and everything. But the sleep of a content man is so sound with that. We think about that contrast between the rich man and Lazarus. Lazarus didn't have anything. He was laid at the rich man's gate. The rich man, the Bible says, had a gated house. He ate sumptuously every day. He wore purple, which was the sign of wealth in his day. But we see after they died, that made all the difference. What happened is their faith before they died. And so this is where we begin with this. And for some couples, it's just that driving and pushing to have more and more and more. And you work yourselves to death and you don't enjoy life. You don't enjoy each other, just because you're just pushing and pushing. And that spirit is found all through the Bible. There in the minor prophets, it talked about how some of them, even during worship, they could not wait for the Sabbath day to be over so they could go back to the market and make more money. I mean, it became an obsession with them. And so we need to appreciate and understand that what we have in our 401s, what we have in our square foot of our house, what we have in our bank accounts, that doesn't define us, nor does that make us better. Doesn't make us better than the guy who has less than we do. Our definition of who we are comes from Jesus. And that's always where we need to see and appreciate some things with that. So let me just go through some practical tips here and there. There are verses we can put on a lot of this, but let's just begin with some things I believe that would help a couple. If I was sitting down with somebody and we're going to talk about them getting married, here's some things I would talk to them about. Number one, you need to understand money. A lot of people don't. A lot of homes have not talked about this very well. Generations past, no one ever talked about what one generation would leave another generation. You have those movies where there's a reading of the will and nobody knows. There's even a commercial on TV where somebody leaves it all to the cat. Have an understanding, about money, about banking, about finances. And there's just so many books out on the market today, lots of places you can go to, but just to dip your foot in the water and get an understanding about these things. Because ignorance is not going to help us. Keeping up with the masses is not going to help us. I heard just the other day that more than 40% of Americans could not come up with $400 if you had an emergency.
Mm.
You're driving down the road and you hit a pothole and you blow two tires. Well, what am I going to do if I don't have money? So understand some things about that. I think the second thing I would add to this is to work together. Two became one, your husband and wife. And in that, you know, I'm just a firm believer, and I'm going to go ahead and say this is my opinion, so I'll say this is my opinion. But I think you should have, your accounts the same.
Yes.
Should be my money and your money, because pretty soon that separation is going to cause trouble. Well, this is my money, I get to do what I want, and this is my money, I get to do what I want, and that causes issues. You're in this together. And so you're helping each other. And so you got to work together on these things. And that leads to the third thing, and that's having a budget. Just write it out every month. This is what we have, and this is where this goes. We got to understand, we got the mortgage coming out. We got the light bill we got to pay. We got the water bill. Here's the bills. That has to be paid, or we're going to get in trouble. And then you can decide, can we go out to eat? Or then you can decide, can we do this, or can we do? Stick to that budget. And that will help you so much. And as life changes, you change that budget and you make adjustments here and there. But I tell you, the sweetest vacation is when that vacation is paid for even before you leave your house. That's just sweet. And if you haven't budgeted that, that kind of gets you in trouble. And so those are some simple beginning points I would add to that. Jason, why don't you throw in some things?
Yeah, I would encourage, don't be afraid to ask for help. Don't be afraid to ask for advice. It is really easy, especially if you're a relatively young couple just beginning. You're probably stretching your wings further than they have ever been stretched before. And boy, is it easy as you stretch those wings all the way out for things to get out of control and scary really quickly. It is always better to ask for advice, ask for input, ask for wisdom from those who are a little further down the line early on than to have to sit down with loved ones or elders in a church or older friends and say, listen, we are tens of thousands of dollars in debt, and we just don't know how in the world we're going to get out. We have all been in situations where we have to learn lessons the hard way, and better to ask for input early on than to allow that snowball to get way too big to handle.
And that's part of that working together. You know, one part of the marriage doesn't just go out and say, hey, you know, I saw this truck and I decided to buy it. And the other one has no clue about that. You talk things through and you work on it together and you listen to each other. That's so important, because somebody can just, all he sees is the carrot and boy, I just want that. And the other one say, well, don't forget, we're paying for this. We're paying for this. And oh yeah, I forgot about that. And that just lets that carrot go, and we forget those things. And so we need to keep that before us.
I'd also add, be generous. You know, I've talked with a lot of people, Roger, I know you have as well, who have in mind, I want to be generous. I admire generous people. I certainly have appreciated the generosity of others, and I'll be generous when I have more money. And I think this is one of those things that's really easy maybe for us to just kick down the road. Well, I don't have enough to be generous yet, but one day I will be. Some of the most generous people I know are some of the most humble financially. And it isn't always generous with dollar bills. It can be generous just with meals, generous with time, generous with hospitality. Don't wait until you have more square footage in your house to know what to do with before you ever share what you have with others. Roger, I know you've done a lot of traveling like I have. I have enjoyed the generosity of people just as much, if not more, when I'm in a small apartment as I am when I'm in a small mansion.
Absolutely. And it's that idea that, okay, maybe we're going to get out the folding chairs and we're sitting around the card table, and I have done that numerous times. And we're going to have bologna and cheese sandwich. I've done that numerous times. Yep. But the fellowship, the encouragement, the laughter, the richness of the experience is so great. But if you look at that little picture and you think, well, I wouldn't do that. You know, we've got to get the dining room table, and we've got to get a good plates and dishes, and we've got to get this, and we get this. And what we do is just keep kicking that can down the road. And usually what we find out is if we can't be generous in that little apartment, we're not going to be generous later on.
Yeah.
Part of understanding finances is understanding, number one, God has been extremely generous with us. Ephesians chapter 1 talks about the grace of God has been lavished. What a great word, upon us. And parables such as the laborers in the vineyard shows how generous our Lord is. And then the other aspect is be a good steward.
Yeah.
And so part of stewardship is planning. Our culture has changed. My dad's generation, they worked and worked at one job all their lives, and there was a pension. Very few places have that today. And so unless you take care of yourself, you're not going to be taken care of. And so if we live from paycheck to paycheck to paycheck until you're 60 years old, 70 years old, you're going to be in a heap of trouble. And so there's some aspects the Bible talks about this. It talks about, for instance, in 1 Timothy 5, that if there's a widow, first who needs to step up is family. Well, family can't if family has not been planning and thinking about such things. The examples in Luke 10 of that good Samaritan, which we mentioned. Here comes the Samaritan. He sees somebody's injured. He wants to help him, but I don't have any money. I can't do anything. And so part of financial planning, part of all this is thinking ahead, thinking down the road. It's not just about me getting as much as I can get. It's about me being to the place where I can help so many other people. The kingdom needs help in a lot of places. And so just to have that spirit, these come about by great conversations. Conversations when you're dating. To see how each other use money or abuse money. Conversations when you're first married. What is our life dream? You know, do we want to be 50 years old in our marriage or 50 years into our marriage and still live in this little apartment, or do we have other plans? Nothing wrong to make plans, but you don't just get there by just daydreaming. You got to have steps. And so all of this just reminds us that in our culture today, there's a lot of people who make a lot of money, but they're in a mess, and it causes trouble in their marriages. We can avoid those things as we start thinking about having some understanding, working together, planning together, having a budget, learning principles such as contentment and stewardship and generosity, great principles running through the Bible that will help us with these things.
Yeah, Roger, I would just end by emphasizing that word stewardship. Well, we throw that around, we hear that in the Bible. All that that means is, okay, this is temporarily under my management. It really doesn't belong to me. A steward is simply managing something that belongs to someone else. And if I could just cap off our discussion by the most important set of lenses I think we can possibly put on this is, this all belongs to the Lord. Let's live as if it really belongs to Him. Let's be faithful stewards who are using wisely the things that He has entrusted to us, recognizing what matters most is to use it in a way that we're really laying up treasures in heaven.
Absolutely. You know, the parable of the talents, although it's a scene of judgment, it brings up these money principles. One was given five, one was given two, one was given one. When the master came back, the one who had been given one talent had done nothing. He'd done nothing. And the Lord was disappointed in him. And so we are to be good caretakers of what the Lord has done. And through our money, we glorify God. We honor God by using it the way the Lord wants us to use it.
Maybe you know someone who would be helped by these simple conversations. It's a little series. We're just two episodes in. You can catch episode one from last Friday in our Heaven Bound podcast feed. Maybe you know someone that you could share these things with, tips for marriage. Faith, number one, finances, number two. Lord willing, next Friday, we'll add another layer to this. But in the meantime, Roger, thanks for joining me today. Thanks to all of you for listening to the Heaven Bound podcast. We hope it's helped you set your mind on things above and given you a little more fuel for the journey. Always remember, when you're walking with Jesus, you're heaven bound, and the best is yet to come.